everyone, and welcome to Empowering Homeschool Conversations. We just thank you for being here and joining us today. My special guest is Natalie. Natalie, I forgot to even ask how to say your last name, so I'm going to need to let you do that.
Well, I had to ask how to say your last name for art interviews. it's Becchione.
Okay, so I would have really messed that up, so I'm glad I asked you anyways. And so this is this month we're focusing on stories, different stories of different families who homeschool children that struggle. And Natalie has a very good story to share with a lot of parents, because it's something we don't talk about a lot, and that's fetal alcohol syndrome disorder and just adoptive parenting in general, and some of the interesting things that come with that journey that do affect a child's ability to learn. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that and just how they got into homeschooling. But I first want to thank our sponsor, Knotgrass History, for sponsoring this episode of Empowering Homeschool Conversations. And we'll hear more from them about halfway through our conversation. So Natalie, as we are getting started, I would just love for you to just tell us a little bit about you and your family and what made you consider homeschooling.
Sure. So thank you again for having me, Peggy. My story is totally God's orchestration. There's no other way to explain my husband's and my journey into parenthood than God. So we married right out of undergraduate school. My husband and I met at East Carolina University. When we met, I was shortly after I was diagnosed with endometriosis. I had it very severe. When my husband and I started dating, I shared it with him, and I shared with him that I probably would not be able to conceive. And his response was, well, I love you because you're you, not because you can give birth. And if you can't conceive, then we will adopt. So, you know, we tried getting pregnant. It actually made me sicker. And I had a total abdominal hysterectomy when I was 28. And had a you know, had some time to, my husband and I just had some time to for me to recover and rest. And it was actually a blessing because I was able to get my health back, which I hadn't had for a long time. So we adopted our son Nick, who is now he is almost 19, and we adopted him when he was 2.5 weeks old. He was a domestic adoption. But he was considered special needs because he was born with quite a few medical conditions, which at the time, we did not realize it was related to his prenatal alcohol exposure or his FASD, which is fetal alcohol spectrum disorder. So, you know, he had a bunch of medical conditions and sensory kind of issues when he was young. He also had sleeping issues. And then when he was about two, we learned that, well, we really were told in a very nonchalant way by a pediatric neurologist that he had suspected that Nick had prenatal alcohol exposure. He had an FASD. Unfortunately, we didn't get an official diagnosis until Nick was almost 15. Even though my husband and I would bring it up to many doctors. We tried private school. We tried public school, private school, a number of different educational types of environments. Some would work for a little bit, but really not, not often. So when Nick was about, I want to say he was in his just about middle school years, just about to start middle school. We were told that, you know, by the school that he was at, that, he would need to be put into an encapsulated special ed program. And he would have to, you know, say goodbye to his friends, and he was going to get counseling for this. And my husband and I prayed about this. This was at the last meeting we had with the school, and we just prayed. And we walked out of the room, and actually this teacher who had worked with Nick pulled us aside, and she said, whatever you do, don't let him go in that program. And I really felt like he was just filled with the Holy Spirit and just was telling us, you need to homeschool him. We started homeschooling. And that was I was in New York, actually, which is one of the five toughest states to homeschool in.
Yes, exactly.
So it was like I didn't go to boot camp. I went to Navy SEAL camp and homeschooling. So, but it was actually a blessing because, you know, I learned a lot about, you know, documentation and compliance, and I became like an HSLDA member right away.
Yes,
and,
exactly.
So that was actually 7.5 years ago. Mm. So we started homeschooling, and it was an accommodation for his FASD, which we, again, did not get the official diagnosis till he was 15. Mm-hmm. During that time, since I had stopped working, stayed home, we also adopted our daughter, Gianna, who is almost six. And her adoption story is very different than our son's. We actually knew her birth mother, and you know, it was very open adoption. It still is. Gigi is typically developing. She does have childhood absence epilepsy, so she has petite mal seizures. They're actually from fevers and viruses, which since COVID, she's had only one from her flu shot. So. You know, this has kind of been a silver lining that she's been able to hopefully strengthen her system.
Right. Exactly.
So we homeschool her for completely different reasons. And it's, you know, it's amazing how both of our homeschool journeys with our kids are so different. So we didn't get Nick's official diagnosis until he was 15 when he was hospitalized. He actually had bipolar disorder, which anyone diagnosed with an FASD, there's a 90% of them have a co-occurring mental health diagnosis.
Yes.
And what we know now, the reason why is because of how the brain is impacted by the alcohol.
Yeah.
So when he was in the hospital, that's when we learned of his FASD diagnosis. And that really changed our lives because we went from seeing what we thought were behaviors, willful behaviors, things like that, to, or, you know, maybe he just doesn't want to remember something, to, okay, he's got deficits in memory. He's not able to carry out functions because of executive functioning skills.
Right.
And most, executive functioning and, you know, the chronological age and the gap between, you know, chronological age is up here and developmental age is way down here. That's a big hallmark in FASD.
Yeah.
But most importantly, it shifted our mindset from not that he wouldn't do something, but he couldn't do something. Mm-hmm. And once we made that shift in mindset and we learned how to accommodate, it is so huge. And it really, it's very much in alignment with grace-based parenting because you really look at your child the way the Lord sees your child. And that we really went from trying to focus on what he couldn't do to what he could do and what his strengths were and supporting those. So that's our journey in a nutshell. He finished homeschooling last year. He is a carpentry apprentice. We spent the last 2 years of his homeschool journey really looking at and focusing on carpentry. He, you know, at first we had talked about having him go to a trade school, but for kids with FASD, trade school and vocational schools are really not a fantastic option because of the stimulation, the environment, and the influence of, you know, things like smoking, vaping, things like that. So we did it the old-fashioned way. We found he's an apprentice, you know, kind of like they did hundreds of years ago, where he's been shadowing his current teacher for 2 years now. And even though his homeschool journey is over, he's still apprenticing and probably will be for a long time. So
that's awesome. Yeah. Cause it takes a little longer and that's just fine. So
yes. And that's a huge, another thing. Thank you for bringing that up, that kids with FASD, they really learn at their own pace, you know, and you really developmentally don't know where they're going to land until they're about mid to late 20s.
Yeah.
So it's a long journey. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I think it's important for parents to understand that if you're homeschooling, project out further for these children, because it's going to set them up in a place for success versus you're done, you're 18. Now you should be able to do it all. I love what you said, Natalie. You know, we just, we teach him where he's at, and that gap continues to grow, you know, the gap doesn't grow, but it continues to progress upwards, even though the gap is still there.
Yes.
And so that's an important thing to remember. So, you know, as you talk about your story, and I'm sure there were some influences in your life, as far as, you know, homeschooling as well as FASD, what would you say is the best advice you've received over your years?
So, honestly, for me, the best advice I've received is from other homeschool moms, other homeschool parents who have kids with FASD or with brain-based diagnoses. Honestly, they've been the best. A fabulous resource who I actually interviewed for our podcast, and I've become to know is
your website too.
Sure, thank you.
Yes.
Kathy Kuhl of LearnDifferently.com.
Yeah, she used to be on my board.
Oh, she's wonderful. And actually her book, so almost 8 years ago, Homeschooling Your Struggling Learner was basically, she wrote the book on homeschooling for special ed. So that was a wonderful resource. I read that like cover to cover when we first started homeschooling. I have to say that, again, support from parents who are other special needs homeschoolers really was helpful. And then finally, my faith. Our faith has just exponentially grown. Our walk with the Lord really has just, we've really learned. I think what the enemy used to try to break our family actually strengthened our family because, you know, my husband and I formed FASD Hope. Our son really is, it never ends. FASD is a lifelong disability. However, with accommodations, with support, and with grace, especially with grace, you can really help your child to you know, be the best that they can be. For us, one of the things we did too is you have to think of homeschooling out of the box. And think of life out of the box. Mm-hmm. We went from a lovely suburb just south of Raleigh. 3 years ago, we moved out into farm country. We live out in the middle off of a farm access road. But it's perfect for our family. Our son has his own little apartment above the garage. We're actually converting one of our detached workshops to a tiny house for him. So if he doesn't ever leave, he's got his own place, but he still has the interdependence of mom and dad.
Right.
And so I really have to say that when you are a homeschooler of a child or a teen with an FASD, it's not going to be like everybody else's journey. And that's okay.
Exactly.
That's okay.
That's really important to remember. Yeah.
And the days that you feel like you can't go on, just give it to the Lord. Honestly, there were so many days where I would tell my husband, okay, that's it. You know, he's going to, it's like, I can't do this anymore. And I would just pray and just give it to the Lord. And I would wake up and it was a new day. And, you know, maybe what we were contending with wasn't there, but I had a different perspective about it.
Right. Yeah. And I've seen my parents with my adopted siblings that have FASD, they've moved them in and out of the school system just because of various medical issues with my parents. And they always say afterwards, I wish we wouldn't have done that. And so, you know, you do have to push through those days, and God will provide. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but that protective environment really is important.
It is. It is. And the other thing too, is I really, for so many years before his official diagnosis, I prayed for change in him, you know, that he would listen and he would follow and obey and everything. And once he had that hospitalization and once we just made that total realization what he had, I prayed for change in me. And I think that that's really, as a parent of a child with a brain-based diagnosis, that's where you need to pray for the change is in yourself, because the Lord, you know, this is the child the Lord gave you, and he trusted you to you know, be blessed to parent this child. So I really feel like the Lord trusted my husband and I to find Nick's gifts, and that's where I think homeschooling, you can do that journey, because you can learn what they like and help them, you know, foster that development.
Oh, that's so true. Yeah, that's very good wisdom.
It's been a long time coming.
Yeah, usually that's how it forms, isn't it?
That's right. That's
lots of trial and error.
That's so, right.
We're going to take a break and hear from our sponsor, and then I'll have Natalie back, and we're going to continue our conversation. So I just want to thank Knotgrass History for sponsoring this episode of Empowering Homeschool Conversations. Knotgrass History helps families like yours succeed at homeschooling. Students enjoy learning, and parents feel confident teaching. Knotgrass History curriculum uses narratives, lessons, primary source documents, historical novels and biographies, and hands-on activities to create engaging learning experiences for children of all ages and abilities. Your family can study U.S. history, world history, geography, government, civics, and even economics. Knotgrass History helps history learners become history makers. You can visit them at knotgrass.com to learn more today. And I'm really excited to let you know that we are going to be doing some reviews, unboxings, video reviews of a variety of different of the Knotgrass History products coming out soon. If you want to just keep watching our YouTube channel, subscribe so that you see those come out, and that'll be within the next month or two. And if you want to join our review crew, you can also join that by looking at any of our review videos. You'll find the application for that. So thank you, Knotgrass History, and I'm going to bring Natalie back. And we are going to continue this conversation of just homeschooling a child with FASD. And so, you know, we all have challenges. You know, our children have challenges. We have challenges in our homeschooling journey. And I was just wondering, you know, what is maybe one thing that sticks out to you as far as a challenge that you faced, and how did you overcome that?
So, I think one of the biggest challenges that we faced and continue to face, actually, is because of the way alcohol affects an unborn child, it crosses the limbic system and it affects the memory. Mm-hmm. So there were many days, and there still are, where our son could remember something, and then there were days he couldn't. So inconsistent memory or poor working memory. So that was a big, I would say probably the biggest challenge for us. And the way we kind of got around it was, honestly, we just improvised and said, okay, we're just not going to do that today. We're going to shift to what your mind could do. And if you think, if you think of FASD as prenatal brain injury, you know, when you have someone who has a TBI, who has a brain injury as a result of a concussion or lived experience, you make adjustments and you know that there are going to be memory, you know, deficits or, you know, memory damage. It's the same with FASD. It's prenatal brain injury in an unborn child. So when we started saying, okay, we're going to, it's almost like the movie Groundhog Day, where it's like some days it's like, you know, the same thing every day. And then, you know, it's really that. So we found things that we knew he could still remember. Like, for example, he works with his hands. He's a carpentry apprentice. That is just like a skill that his memory just is not affected by. So, you know, if you give him a tape measure, you know, he may not be able to remember like a fraction sentence or a fraction equation, but he can measure out something to like, you know, the 16th, 32nd of an inch, you know, and, you know, calculate that. So I think, just again, building on those strengths, you know, instead of saying, okay, he can't remember this, saying, okay, what can he do?
That's great.
You know, and that really helped us.
Yeah, that's important because, yeah, you can really beat your head against the wall.
Oh my goodness.
You know, and blame yourself, thinking that I didn't teach him the right way. And yet it really is that way that brain works, and to just take one day at a time and be really flexible. I love that advice.
Yeah.
That's great. So, you know, as we come into homeschooling, a lot of moms will say, you know, this is what I expected homeschooling to look like. What kind of ideas did you come in with and realize that they were maybe very large misconceptions that you had to get over? And then how did you just release those? Because, you know, I think a lot of people starting out, it's a process of giving up these visions and these ideas of what homeschooling is going to look like, and making it unique. Like you had said, yeah. our journey in your homeschool looks very different than other people's.
I even think there's almost like you have to allow yourself a mourning period, because yes, for me, I was like, so oh, we're mm-hmm. going to have this lovely little homeschool room and we're going to do this and have curriculum and do this. And right. when I, that's what I went into it thinking. Mm. And when I realized, ooh, that's not it. Yeah. Then, again, a lot of it was just giving it to the Lord and saying, mm-hmm. okay, how do you want this to look like? Right. And for us, I never thought it would be a trade, but it was a trade for our son. And mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, we'll trade. Maybe let's try trade school. Nope. You know, mm-hmm. it's like, you know, one-on-one trade. So honestly, just you go into homeschooling, I think, with these, you know, preconceived notions, right. just like a lot of things in life. And I really feel like just stepping back and letting your child like show you how they learn best and show you what environment they learn, you know, best in. I learned like quickly, for example, in the earlier years of our homeschooling, that he could do, you know, math facts while on a trampoline, or he could recite spelling words while riding his scooter. So we right. really incorporated things like sensory type of activities into learning because mm-hmm. that helped his brain. Right. So the other thing I think I would recommend too is just letting go of that. It's going to look like school at home. It's going to look like a box curriculum or anything.
Right. Exactly.
It's wonderful for many people, awesome. But for kids with FASD, it's really individualized. It's really mm-hmm. just mm-hmm. how your child learns best. So, and again, just praying about it, you know, I just so many times I just prayed that just for discernment. And I feel mm-hmm. like, again, what I learned was all about myself and how I needed to change those notions. Mm-hmm. And I see myself, you know, our daughter is almost six and we've been homeschooling her since last year. And I see myself kind of sometimes creep into that, oh, she should be doing this and she should be doing that. And I'm like, nope. I need to just mm-hmm. let her be, you know, the beautiful little girl, you know, God made her. And when I do that, then I see her gifts and I see where mm-hmm. I can support her more.
That's so mm-hmm.
yeah. Yeah. It's a challenge. It mm-hmm. is, but it's also a blessing.
Exactly. To be able to step back and not push them forward, but yes. to come in from this supportive role from behind and, yes. and to help them on their own journey. That really is a beautiful way to homeschool, but I think we have to get ourselves out of the way to do that.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. So as we're wrapping up, I'd love for you to talk about FASD Hope, but also just encouraging last words for parents who are homeschooling and, or have children on the fetal alcohol syndrome, you know, that on that diagnoses, and or even as adoptive parent, what you just want to share. So I'll bring up your website. It's FASDHope.com. So I'll just let you go with that.
Thank you. So my husband and I founded FASD Hope. With the mission, we consider it a ministry. We have kind of three goals in our mission. The first is to bring awareness about FASD and what it is and educate people about what it is. It's the most prevalent developmental disability in the Western world. You know, it affects approximately 1 in 20 children, and it's lifelong brain damage. Alcohol is the worst substance that can be exposed to an unborn child. And people just don't realize that. So the first concept is to bring awareness. The second is to provide resources. We do that through our weekly podcast. We do that through our website. And then finally, to bring our faith and hope into it. You know, you don't often hear FASD and hope together. And we wanted to change that conversation. And again, we don't sugarcoat things. You know, we tell things the way they are, but we mm-hmm. also tell things with our perspective of faith. So I would have to say that for parents out there who need encouragement, mm-hmm. Just remember, and it's very hard to do sometimes when we get up caught up in the world and the way the world sees our children.
Yeah.
We need to see our children the way God sees our children, the way he made them. You know, they think differently. They operate. They are in the world in a different manner. Mm-hmm. But it's actually a beautiful manner. I think of our children as the kids that Christ would have ministered to and would have gone to, because they teach us, you know. And just like in the Bible, so many instances of where Christ goes to these people that everybody else was like, why? Why is this happening? Mm-hmm. If we can put on those lenses of, we need to look at our children with grace and with hope. So, and your homeschooling journey will let you do that. That is the most beautiful thing about homeschooling, is that you can do that through homeschooling. Mm-hmm. And it may change year to year or even month to month, but that's, that's okay. Mm-hmm. That is okay. And then just finally, it doesn't end. You know, we, my husband and I anticipate our son being with us for the long haul, which is why we moved to the country and we're, you know, making this tiny house. And that's okay too. That's okay too. You know, I really, even, you know, and I, but again, I'm not perfect. There are many days where I'm just like you said, banging my head against the wall going, how am I going to do this? And on those days, it's when I find I really need to give it the most to the Lord and say, okay, God, I can't do this, you know, please. And then again, I, you know, it's usually at night when I go to bed and I'm reading my Bible and I'm praying on something. And then I wake up and it's like the Lord just says, here you go. And I'm just very thankful. I consider, you know, it's funny. There's like a very cliche, you know, when you tell people you have children who are adopted, you know, I when they say, oh, they're so lucky, I think that's a total misnomer. I think we are the blessed, you know, parents. Our children are gifts.
Yes.
You know, our pastor says that having a child biologically is natural, but adoption is supernatural. It's from the Lord. And I 100% agree with that.
That's wonderful. I love that. And such good advice, because there are hard days. I know I had three toddlers all with FASD at my house for a year and a half when we were doing foster care. And it definitely tests you in many ways. And yeah, grace and just learning one day at a time and changing yourself. I think those are some good summaries to pull away from what you've had to share. And really, I think, you know, you really hit it on the head. Homeschooling allows you that environment to do that, because you're not battling with other environments that are not working in that direction. And I think all of our efforts sometimes get put into, you know, fighting with the counselors and the teachers and all these other things going on when our children just need that place to blossom and get rooted and grow. And you've already seen that starting to happen with your son, and I'm excited for you and all that you have ahead with your daughter.
Yes.
And so you're continuing this journey, and like you said, it's different now for her. And I think that's a good thing for parents to know too, is that, you know, you have one child and you think, okay, I got this down. I'm going to be able to homeschool now. No. Even if you have children biologically, that doesn't work.
Exactly.
And so yeah, some really good takeaways. So I just want to thank you, Natalie, for sharing and all the wisdom that you have brought to this discussion that we've had. And definitely check out Natalie's resources at fasdhope.com. I also want to thank Knotgrass History for sponsoring this episode of Empowering Homeschool Conversations. Definitely check them out at knotgrass.com as well. So thanks again, Natalie. I appreciate
thank
the conversation.
You,
this was a lot
thank
of fun.
You.
And thank you all for joining us. And we'll see you next time right here on Empowering Homeschool Conversations. Bye, everyone.
Scripture and brain science agree. Meditating on God's word transforms us and reduces stress in our lives. I'm Jody Niznik, host of So Much More, Creating Space for God, a scripture meditation podcast. And each week, I give you space to hear God's word, listen to the Spirit, and pray about what's on your heart. And then we have a thoughtful conversation with guests to help us go deeper. Listen and subscribe at lifeaudio.com.